For this part of the show, I'm going to rehash again what's going on with our climate. The good news is I've been doing this 20 years a few people were talking about it. There were a lot of what we call climate deniers. Well, that's turned around by far. The majority of everybody I talk to now and I get to discuss with this does know we're part of the problem. So we're going to kind of redefine things and kind of smooth them out, change. There's been a lot of, I want to use the word jargon, the words have changed to better define exactly what's going on. And we do have a better understanding of why. So let me reiterate, go through the facts as we know them now. And they're becoming more understandable, making more sense all the time because we're beginning to tie what's going on here with what's going on over here and what does it affect and how does it affect our storms? Is it part of the fire problem that has become unreal in the last 5 or 10 years, especially the last 5 years? And the answer to all this is probably yes, but let's kind of delve into it. So let's consider a few of the main facts as we've really come to accept how things are moving. First, we do have to realize climate change actually refers to long-term shifts in weather patterns. Yes, the climate has changed naturally for the last 650,000 years that we've been able to now learn to record it because we've gotten smart enough to even go back and read the past. And it's fluctuated between sometimes ice ages, sometimes warmer periods. That has been all normal fluctuations, which is part of our nature. Mother Nature, how about that? But here's what we've learned that a lot of the deniers used to not quite follow. Modern day climate change is not a naturally occurring phenomenon. It refers to alterations in the weather patterns caused by human activities. And folks, it's about 8 billion of us. Give it some thought. The term we used to use, global warming, is one measure of climate change and refers to a rise in the average global temperature. Human activities such as industrialization, deforestation, and intensive agriculture have increased emissions of greenhouse gases. We're changing terms again. Now they call them GHGs. I don't know why we have to have an acronym for everything. Greenhouse gases, GHGs. And they're causing the overall global temperatures to rise. And that particular fact has been actually accepted many, many years by most scientists, but now by most everyone that's even a thinking person. Extreme weather events, rising sea levels and melting polar ice caps, are just some of the effects of climate change that are becoming more and more obvious all the time. And although, as I mentioned, the climate has shifted throughout Earth's history, this is just the first time that climate change has been human-caused and happened so rapidly in all the past history that we've been able to reliably track. We've now got a really good handle on the climate change timeline. And looking at that timeline, scientists report that temperatures are rising faster than at any other time in history. And we're talking about even before us, prehistory, that we're now able to measure, which I can tell you how they do it. It's not very difficult once you know how it works. The average global temperature on Earth has risen a little more than 1.8 degrees, that's Fahrenheit now, since 1880. And today's atmosphere contains 42% more carbon dioxide than it did before what we consider the beginning of the industrial era. The resulting negative effects of climate change, like rising temperatures, rising sea levels, and extreme weather events, have really far-reaching social, economic, political, and of course environmental implications across every sector of our society. And as we're learning more, some of the most disturbing data on climate change is that it will not happen as gradually as we originally thought it would. like a line rising steadily on a graph, but rather as a series of tipping points that can form, in essence, kind of a cascade, and that will eventually unleash probably domino effects of irreversible consequences as we reach those different levels. So now it's actually a consensus among experts. People who actually study climate science for a living. Climate change is happening, and human activity is causing it. There's still a small number of climate change, we call them deniers out there. They do exist. And they can be kind of noisy. They want to be. Mostly this is a political problem. Their anti-climate change arguments have been debunked, though, by, they claim, 97% of the real science community. Right here, I'll throw in what I think is happening. As a part of that, I'm going to mention at least three things I think most people need to know. First, there's not much doubt in this particular fact. Average global temperature is directly linked to the concentration of greenhouse gases in our atmosphere. The concentration of greenhouse gases has been rising steadily since the Industrial Revolution, and global temperatures are increasing as a result of those increased gases. And also, carbon dioxide is the most abundant, accounting for about 3/4 of the GHGs, greenhouse gases. Its increased concentration is largely due to the burning of fossil fuels worldwide. Most of you know if you try to get a really good friend of yours to do something exciting, but yeah, they might consider it risky. You have to use the right words to convince them. The same goes for getting people to start to care about climate change. Now, some media outlets, and I use a bunch of them, one I refer to here is the British newspaper, The Guardian. They're actually revamping the way they write their paper to introduce terms that are more accurately able to describe the environmental crisis facing the world. For instance, I've noticed phrases like climate emergency and climate crisis are now being used instead of climate change or global heating, or especially instead of the word global warming. The global warming is deceptive in that there's parts of the world right now, and you see it, well, Texas last year, I was there, getting colder than it's been at least in human recorded history. We had 3 degrees in a place that, as far as I know, had never gotten as cold as that since we've been recording temperatures. So the minute a citizen that's not into this says, it's not global warming, it's the coldest it's ever been, they're not seeing the big picture of climate change. They're seeing a local phenomena. A better term for that is the weather. For starters, scientific language can be very dense, and I don't know if this is a word, and jargony, making it difficult for people that are not really into science to understand. And this has prompted the scientific community to kind of rebrand climate change concepts. Let me give you an example. Scientists once used, way back now, and I've been involved in it that long, entirely unrelatable terms, and one of them that I remember, which I quoted once, was inadvertent climate modification. Wow. To describe human-caused climate change. That was their technical term. This went on until the science community just came up with some new terms. This was way back, I think, in the late 70s or early 80s. And that's where the word global warming and climate change came about. These are simpler, more relatable concepts to the average citizen that kind of resonate with those who don't really know the way around science. I mean, the average citizen just doesn't talk about inadvertent climate modification. We needed to change that, and we did. However, interestingly enough, many scientists and activists then criticized what they call neutral language for masking the truth about the climate crisis we were having. So take the term climate change. It's scientifically accurate, yes, but it doesn't exactly get your blood boiling. It's not like, wow, what's going on? It also doesn't reveal that this is a full-blown, human-created crisis and not just a shift in the local weather, which is what a lot of people want to kind of cuff off. Oh, that's just it's not the natural shift anymore, folks. We are a part of the problem. Let me throw this in here, because this is something that I put together that I think it will fit. What's the difference between climate and weather? Let's actually kind of make a decision here. And if scientists are saying the planet's getting warmer, why is it still so cold in the winter? I just pointed out the coldest winter we've had in the part of the Texas I was in, maybe certainly as long as we've been recording. Great question. And a good example of why some people are saying global heating instead of global warming. If you live in a cold climate, global warming sounds kind of nice. Oh boy, it's not going to be so freezing this year. Goody, goody. Like growing oranges and lemons in Minnesota's backyard. Unfortunately, that's not really how it works, folks. Weather describes short-term occurrences like a rainy morning or a hot sunny day or a super cold winter day. Climate refers to what the weather looks like in a particular place over a long period of time. For example, a desert region is typically very dry and hot, where temperatures many, many times exceed 104 degrees in the daytime. And they receive less than 9.5 inches of rain a year. That's sort of a desert. When talking about climate, scientists often look at averages of precipitation, temperatures, humidity, sunshine, wind, and whatever weather measures that happen over an extended period, let's say 30 years, in that particular region. The bottom line is this. Climate is what you expect to happen overall, and weather is what you get in the moment, tomorrow morning when you wake up or a week from now. That's the daily weather. But folks, that is not giving you the change of the climate over time. That's a little bit harder to grasp because it doesn't hit you so hard in the face. So that's sort of, I won't get this, I may go into this deeper in the next week or so on this show because I'm getting more and more hits. And there, I mostly used to tell you for 20 years how to plant tomatoes. Now we're looking at what's going on around us, and it all does affect, guess what? The very garden that you're putting, or even the flowers you plant in your yard may not be the same as what you were planting 20 years ago, and certainly may not be the same plants that will thrive and grow there in the next 20 or 30 years, because the climate's changing, and that's going to change the short-term weather. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.